Welcome, everyone. It's a privilege sharing again. It's an honor. And I just want to thank the worship team. I'm coming out from Arandera, Tari Lane, Honest. The family also visiting. Thanks so much, eh? You guys are awesome. It's nice to have all the support in the family from Arandera as we grow. As you heard the request for some more help with the worship, and I'm sure it will come. But yeah, thanks. A lovely morning. I'd like to, the topic of my sermon this morning is little by little, we take back territory. And it's out of a passage in Exodus, Exodus 23. Just a bit of background about the book of Exodus. It's such an awesome book in our history of faith. Exodus, the meaning of Exodus, the word is like going out. So, you know, the Lord built his nation in slavery. He built up the Israelites, well, whilst they were in bondage under Pharaoh. And he always had the promised land for them. They were being led out. It's a nation that was in bondage and they were set free. And there's important times in history that we still refer to today. Is the Passover. It all started there. And the baptism of setting free, going through the waters, and then into the promised land. Okay, so there's a prophetic picture of salvation in that, and sanctification, and then the inheritance. That's all there for us as believers. So yeah, and he chose Moses, which is also the type of Christ. He chose Moses to lead his people. So that's in the Old Testament. So important factor also to know of the old Israelites, that they were saved first and then they were given the law. Okay, so in today's life, we always get saved first and then we start leading what Jesus leads us into. Then we start knowing the ways of Christ. So that's contrary to where we grew up with the law. So the law can't save you, and we know that. Only Christ saved us. I grew up in a religious setup in the Dutch Reformed Church, where you like grow up as a churchgoer, as your parents are Christians. You also go to church, and you learn the law, and you go to Sunday school classes, and you come to your confirmation, where you actually need to make the choice. But being in a religious setting, sometimes it's just a joke, you know. You get your wine license, an hour old setup, then you can use communion. Where does that come from? It's not in the word. So it's just to prove a point that the law can't save us. Just with the Israelites, the Lord saved them first. He led them through. When they were in the promised land, then he brought in the commandments and all the things that they can follow. So that's just a bit of background there. So there's a few main things we're going to see in this passage. It's in Exodus 23, verse 20 to 33. And I'm going to go through it just bit by bit. But there's, as I said, salvation, sanctification, deliverance, and then there's a gradual victory as they go along to the inheritance. Okay. So let's start in Exodus. We're going to do verse 20 to 23 first, and then we'll take a break and discuss that. So the angel of the Lord, so he's talking of the angel. So see, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to him what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the, I'm not going to try and pronounce all those names. It's the enemy, by the way. And I will wipe them out. So you can read them there. Jebusites, Canaanites, and yeah, all those ites. I didn't practice them enough, sorry. But that's all the enemies. So the one thing we can compare here with the New Testament is the angel said, sent before, is today we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was the Spirit of God that he sent his angel before. We have our divine guidance now with the Holy Spirit. And then the obeying of his voice was a very, be very careful to obey my voice. There's a big warning there. And I want to turn to Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4, where he also refers to listen carefully to what I say. So in Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. That is in the Old Testament. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. So it's actually a very profound piece that, you know, in the Old Testament, they faced judgment for not obeying the law, the voice of the Lord. And today, there's actually a stricter judgment on us, because that's what it says there in Hebrew. Who are we to think, to judge anything of our Savior? You know, he made a better plan for us through Jesus Christ. And we must consider it carefully. And then in verse 24, the next two verses, verse 24 to 25 in Exodus, but I'm jumping around in Exodus. The whole piece is actually so awesome. If you take the promise, if you read the whole piece, all the requirements and what he does for you once we obey. Are you there? 24. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and your water. And I will take away sickness from among you. So there's a sanctification process here now of idols. I don't know who were there, when Marnie was, he did his one sermon on idols. And there are so many idols in our lives that we must be careful of. In those days, he spoke of the idolatry, whatever they served. And we must now look at all the idols in our lives, because there's that promise. And there's that command that we must break down those sacred places in our lives. And I'll come back to it towards the end again, where he warns against it. Obey his voice. We cannot entertain idols in our lives. Anything that takes time or form in the place of Christ and his ways, we can't entertain that. The Lord wants full entertainment in our lives. Because it also says at the end, we'll read it again, it will become a snare to you. So that's what happens when we start entertaining small idols in our lives. Before you realize it, it becomes a snare to you. You can't get out of it. Whether it's addiction, whether it's a bad habit. Yeah, it will become a snare to you. In 1 Corinthians 10, 14, I don't think I gave you that verse, it doesn't matter. It just says, so my dear friends, flee from worshipping idols. He warns us, Paul warns us in the New Testament, flee from them. Not try and stop doing them, or do your best not to do them. He says, flee from them, because it's dangerous. So that's a warning he gives us. Right, let's carry on to verse 26. In Exodus 26 to 30, that's where we're going to dig a bit deeper. So from 26, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make your enemies turn their backs and run. So now if we take all those things in context, if we walk in obedience, in the full guidance of the Spirit, what guarantee comes with that? It's read, yeah. Our enemies will turn his back on us. You know, it's like, it's not our war to fight. You don't have to fight that. All we need to do is walk in obedience in the fullness of God. And he sorts those things out for us. That's what he promised the nation. And it's still to this day. It's irrelevant. I will send a hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year. Now here comes an interesting part. Because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. And then he says, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. So now this little by little, living in this fast food world we live in, we always expect this quick resolutions, quick change. You know, I've sinned my whole life long. I've been saved now and everything must just change. And then it doesn't change. And then you start encountering more and more difficulties. Or it gets harder sometimes. It's like, wasn't that hard before? You know, you start questioning yourself. It's interesting, this piece, little by little. And I read up about it, and it's like, if the Lord clears the land before you and you walk into it without any evil, I think our pride will just be our downfall. We'll be so proud of what there's no more plans of the enemy. And because we're human and we're flesh, we'll default so quickly because we remain human. So the moment the Lord takes all our problems, all our worries away, what are we left with? We're just going to be so proud of ourselves and we're going to corrupt. We will corrupt so quickly. And he wanted to learn them a lesson in this, the Israelites, that it's a growing process and he's building character. He's going to test obedience along the way. So in Philippians, did I give one? Philippians 1 verse 6. Sorry, I didn't give all the verses. I just wanted to. It says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. So God is busy with a good work within us and he keeps on working. And further down in Philippians, I'm just going to touch on that. The verse that really comes to my mind so often is in Philippians 2:12, where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's also a portion of that little by little. Because it says we must work out our salvation, we must work out ourselves. And that's a walk we have. It doesn't just happen for us. There's a constant working of working out stuff. How do I overcome this? How do I do this? I'm battling with this. I've got victory now. The next thing comes. How can I overcome this? And it's a walk. It's a walk. And then he encourages us in the later part. He keeps on working in us to fulfill his good purpose. It's all about him. He's building. He wants to build us into this perfect bride. He wants to build me personally, you personally, and together he wants to build a perfect bride. And it's a whole building process. And it's for his good purpose, because we need to shine at the end of the day. We need to reflect him. And we must do it without grumbling and complaining. That's one reason why the Israelites stayed in the wilderness for so long. They were grumbling and complaining. That was, apart from all the idolatry and all the other things they did wrong, they were just complaining. And they went round and round. And the promised land was right next door to them. So we must do it without grumbling and complaining so we can become blameless and pure. And then it says, in a crooked and warped generation. And that's the world we live in. It's a crooked world. It's a warped world with warped values. To what do we conform? To the crooked values or to his values. And it's a real challenge for us. We're all in this world. Your value systems, just in relationships with your marriage, husband, wife, wife, husband, with your children, your values in your children. We live in a generation where things are just accepted because everyone's got this say and this self-righteousness, the rights of men and women and of this one and that one. You know, it's our right and it's so evil. You know, we must get back to the submission of Christ and his ways. Don't let the crooked ways of the world influence us so much. Coming back to that empty pot, you know, where the Lord will drive out the enemy before you, but he'll let you progress little by little. And I want to share an interesting passage in Luke 11, verse 24 to 26. And I've read it a lot of times and I've understood it, but when I read it this time, it made sense when God doesn't remove everything from you once. It says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. So it's a scary verse, because a lot of us have been delivered of things, of demonic, of any bad thing. We come to repentance, and then the temptation doesn't stop. So the trick here is not the trick, it's the truth. There's always a void, like he cleaned out the land before the people. Now it's empty. So you need something to replace it with. That's why you grow them out little by little, so that the people can make progress. So in our lives, as soon as we turn around and we repent, and we leave an addiction, we leave a wrong way, we leave sin behind. What happens? Now there's like an empty space. Eh? There's an empty space. And it's important. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to look for something good to replace the wrong that we were doing. If you had a bad habit, we need to be filled, and it needs to be replaced with something of the fruit of the Spirit. Something good. If there was an addiction, there must always be a good thing to be replaced with. Because if you just think you're free and the Lord's just going to, just help. He is going to help you through it, but he'll always show you something to replace it with. So it is important that something must fill that void. And that's why the word constantly say we must be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Because the enemy will try and return. And all of us, I can testify of that. He will try and return. He'll always try and return. And God's intention from the beginning in this passage in Exodus, he doesn't just want to remove sin from us. Because he's got a purpose for us. He wants to build us. He wants something for us. He wants to build his kingdom. He wants to fill us with his presence and his purpose in life. That's why we need to be born again. We all need to be born again. The Lord can't save us. The other thing is deliverance without discipleship leads to a downfall. So if you try and stand on your own through repentance or deliverance, it's going to be hard. You're probably going to fall. We need discipleship. We need family around us. We need someone alongside us to build into us, to help us, to counsel us, to speak to. And that's what we value in the church as well. That's why communities are so important. We heard from the testimonies how many people just through the communities were drawn in just because of family. And you're not on your own, because you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle resisting. You're going to struggle overcoming. And that's why we need the discipleship, so that we are freed indeed. And little by little, we overcome. And God gives us grace for certain periods in our life. For your first thing that you overcome, he gives you grace to overcome. And then you see, okay, now there's a little next enemy, and he'll give you grace for that to overcome. And just as you think you've done it, and you're on a good place, he'll show you something else of your character. Now you have to change this. And it's Andrew said, we're in the construction business. So we constantly, till the day we die, don't ever think that you've arrived. Because that's so proudful, and you're going to fall from that. Jesus' warning in this, coming from the law, is that a moral reform is not enough. We need a spiritual renewal. We need an infinite. So if you can decide, no, you're going to now do good, just morally because it's right. You're going to somewhere need a savior. It's not going to last because it's a law. You need to surrender things for Christ to come in. There must be true deliverance and the indwelling of Christ. Let's get to the last portion in verse 31 to 33 of Exodus. This is a promise we're moving towards. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give into your hands the people who live in that land. And there again, and you will drive them out before you. It's all tied to obedience. Like if you start walking in his obedience and his guidance, anything in your life is just going to make way because of his presence. It's going to make way. Okay? God's going to fight it for you. Now, another warning. Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. And do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me. Because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. And that's where the idols come in again. Anything we can't get rid of, or we idolize, or we're still nurturing in the back of our mind, or things we think it's not necessary really to change, it will start ensnaring you. Another thing that ensnares you is mixing with the wrong crowd. You know, we can't just have nice fellowship on a Sunday and every Friday you have a blast at the club. Well, the Hittites, you're going to get influenced. It's going to become a snare. And that's the truth. That's why we need family. We need true values. And just a few points I want to discuss quickly is that how easily we can be deceived, how easy you can walk in self-deception. The thing is about deception, you don't know you deceive. You will bend a thing and think that it's so right, but in the meantime, it's so wrong. We humans, with our self-righteousness, you know, you can justify something so easy. And the warning is in James. We've been doing James 1. Be doers of the word. Otherwise, you deceive yourself. We must just follow the word carefully, carefully. We must be careful what we project. You can't project something you aren't. And that's another thing. You come between community and church and you're projecting this in our Christian life. How's your Monday going? How's your Tuesday going? You know, sometimes, yeah, are you accepting a form of Christianity and completely denying its power? We come here and we believe in his miracles. We believe in his signs and wonders. We see that. We worship this holy God. But in the week, we totally deny God's power in our lives and the work he can do in our lives. We must stay connected. We must connect those two the whole time. We can't walk out of here denying the power of Christ in our lives and the work he's doing in our lives. And the grace of God gives us the ability. And that's what grace is. Grace is giving you, it's something God does in me that in my natural ability I can't do. I have to trust God to change in my life. It's his power. And that's what grace is. and His grace is enough. Another important thing for deception is our conscience. It could be seared so quickly. You know, the first time you sin, it's like a punch in your chest. You know, like, whoa, it was terrible doing it. And then it's all right, then you stop for a bit, and then the next time you do it, it's like a hard punch on the shoulder. And then the next time, it's just a little pinch. And before you know it, you've justified it, and you're living in sin. You've seared your conscience. You've walked away from the truth. You've been deceived. And that's why we have to walk and check ourselves and walk in constant repentance. Lord, show me. Lord, show me. And it's all about the relationship we have in Him. We have that internal inheritance. So, yeah, it's by His power, hey? To know Him. That's our promise. That's why we're walking. To walk in that promise and to know that we've got that inheritance. That we want to be seated at His right hand. That's what He promises us. A holy nation. Chosen people. But we become that by walking with Him. And not to be discouraged by it's not happening. It doesn't happen in one day. It's a walk with Christ. It's a walk. It's a constant walk. And a slow progression. Little by little, you're taking ground. And don't be disheartened because Christ is before us and He helps us. He's done it for us. Remember, in obedience, as we walk in obedience, the enemy just flees from us. Such a wonderful promise that we have in Exodus. And, you know, just coming back to everything He says, if you listen carefully to what I say and follow all my ways, it's this amazing promise in front of you that He's just going to do it for you. And there's so much victory in that. There's so much victory in that. So, yeah, that's my word of encouragement today. And also a check. You can check yourselves in this. You know, there's areas in your life where you've maybe left a void and not allow the Lord to come and fill it with Himself or with something good. And we need to check that out in our lives. And sometimes it begins with a big thing where you've turned your life around. You've got rid of an addiction or a bad habit and you're walking freely in that. And then there's the next thing. And then there's the next thing. Just to encourage you that it's an ongoing process. But there's small victories. And as we grow, you hear the Lord better. You follow Him. Be cautious of your conscience. Don't sear your conscience, your self-righteousness. It's a big downfall. And then suddenly the Lord doesn't fight for you. Because He wants your heart first, and then He'll fight all the rest for you. Amen. I want to land it there. Father, we thank You. Lord, we honor You this morning that You have so many promises for us. As we walk our walk of salvation, of sanctification, walking into Your promises, Father, guard our hearts, not to be satisfied with what we have. Lord, guard our conscience. Not to be deceived in any way, Lord. I pray that Your Spirit of truth would come and convict our hearts, Lord. Where we've had areas where we seared our conscience and we start just accepting things and values, ordinances of this world as okay, just making it okay. It's okay to be like that. Lord, we want to repent of that. Lord, let us come true to Your word, Lord, in every area of our life, Lord. You are busy building us. You're busy constructing us to be this perfect bride, to be the perfect people. And Your heart always reaches out to us, Lord. Your heart is always open to us. And we thank You for that, that we could approach You boldly. It was through Christ You've made a way for us. We don't have to abide in all the law first, Lord. We could come to You and You can speak to us and You can lead us. And You've come to set us free. And so that we can be free indeed. And as You free us, Lord, You give us, You fill us with Your, the space with Your presence. with your guidance. So I want to just invite you, just as an invitation to the Lord, as we're going to worship, to ask the Lord to just replace anything that you've made wrong, any void that is empty in your life. As we worship, let the Lord fill you with His presence. Thank you, Jesus.